Hey there, nature lovers. Welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Bunch podcast, where we talk everything conservation, education, fascination. My name is CJ, and I'm joined this week by some lovely guests, Emily and Edward. Emily and Edward, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Edward, go ahead.
All right, I was going to defer to you first, but hi. My name is Edward Warden. I am president of Chicago Ornithological Society, at least right now. Wear a lot of other hats at other different times, but that's the one we're wearing right now.
And my name is Emily Kenny. I am the volunteer services supervisor for the Forest Reserve Desert of Will County.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so glad that you both could join me today. We've been working together for the past few months on this cool project, so I'm really stoked that we get a chance to chat with all of our nature lovers about it. It's going to be really exciting to share this episode and have everyone participate in the City Nature Challenge. But more info on that to come. Let's start off today by jumping into our first segment, which is going to be current events. So this episode's coming out on Earth Day. We're doing all of this sort of work in nature around the City Nature Challenge. And I wanted to sort of talk about Earth Day because it's a really exciting day. Do you guys know the history of Earth Day?
Well, it started before I was born.
Yeah, right. It's old same. Enough now.
Yeah,
it's
same.
Old as dirt.
Same. Yeah, so it sort of was inspired by, a lot of things were by Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, with like bald eagles. People were realizing the effects that they were doing on the environment. And then the first Earth Day was held in 1970. And we've been having Earth Day on April 22nd every year. So very exciting. Do you guys have any thoughts on the significance of Earth Day or why we do it or how we can continue to celebrate it?
Oh, geez, where to begin? It's kind of funny. Emily pointed out, it's pre all of us at this point.
Yeah.
But I feel like that honestly says a lot in and of itself that, mm-hmm. Especially in this day and age where we have so many like kind of gimmicky holidays about gosh knows what, it could very easily have been one of those things that, was a thing for 5-10 years and then fizzled out. But I feel like if anything, it's stronger than ever. The amount of interest that I get from schools, members of the public, community members, everywhere where they're at, and just the simple question, are we doing something for Earth Day? What's happening? How can I get involved? It really is remarkable how, after all this time, it's still as strong as ever, and I'd argue even in previous, more so than even in just the last couple of years. Pretty remarkable when you look at it that way.
I also think that even with most holidays, celebrating once a year is great, but the real reason behind Earth Day should be year round.
100%.
It's not like it's, a savior's birthday. It's not like it's a holiday that's revolving around the moon cycles and things like that. This is something that is more, they pick the day in order to acknowledge that we need to take a little bit more consideration for our planet. But that could have been any day, so why not make it every day?
Yeah, I think a lot about that sentiment in terms of like a lot of social movements, right? The things like Black History Month, Latinx History Month, Women's History Month, Pride Month, and how like these are things that we celebrate like annually and monthly. And these are really just ideals that we should take with us in everything. And I think Earth Day is a really good example of a singular day, a singular moment in time that can be spread over a year. I love that.
Yeah, let's not celebrate, pride in our relationships and our families just for one month or one day. Let's actually be nice to each other year round. What a surprise.
It's crazy. What a concept.
Everybody only gets one day, and that's it.
That's it.
It's the only day I'm nice to you.
Earth Day also, for me recently, has sort of been sparking something. For me, I don't know if you all have heard of this. It's called the 30 by 30 initiative. Are you all familiar with this? Do any of you want to speak on it? I can speak on it. I have some notes pulled up here. Great. So it refers to a kind of an effort by the global community to conserve 30% of terrestrial and marine habitat by the year 2030. And it started with international calls sort of in the UN and all these different committees globally, and became official policy here in the US in 2021. So it's a set thing we're working towards as a nation, as a global people, to preserve more of the planet. And I think it's a thing that I've only heard about relatively recently. And I think that Earth Day is a really great time to talk about it.
You know, it's interesting because I didn't know that it had become like official policy within the U.S.
Yeah.
But there had been rumblings about kind of in a lot of the circles that I've run in terms of 2030 being kind of a significant date to really shoot for some of these larger conservation goals. I mean, there was the establishment of the social group here, Habitat 2030, which was, you know, a kind of a social conservation minded group to just folks who want to go out and make a difference and do it together. There was like a couple sub spin-off groups that came from that as well. And even my workplace, there's, you know, kind of a 2030 goals, right? So there's a lot of interest definitely I've seen beyond that as well, in terms of 2030 being kind of a really big date that we're shooting for to really kind of have some things firmly in the books, so to speak, fully firmly within hand, and really kind of say, you know, we really are giving it our all here.
Yeah, it's a commitment that I feel like, you know, it's a every single country, every single nation needs to make, but we also need to make as individuals, right? We're all on one planet. We need to commit to saving it together. And part of saving it is really understanding what's here. And understanding what's here, we can do this week in the City Nature Challenge. So why don't we hop over to our main topic and we can talk more about what we actually are here to talk about today. So I'll play our little sting. Amazing. The reason I wanted to have you both on is because we've been working for the past few months to talk all about the City Nature Challenge. We've been planning our local Chicago region events and coordinating all these different things behind the scenes. And now that it's finally here, I wanted to have us on to talk about it. Why don't one of you sort of explain what the City Nature Challenge is?
You want that one, Emily?
Sure. Awesome. So the City Nature Challenge is a worldwide event that begins on Friday, April 26th, and ends midnight, Monday, April 29th, whatever our local times are. And so basically you are going out, and we are using the iNaturalist app to basically take pictures of nature that is near and dear to your heart and be able to upload it onto the system. And then we'll have scientists and other specialists being able to help identify all those cool things. And it's sort of a competition that started back in 2016. And I have to admit, Chicagoland is not up in the rankings. I think we could do better, people.
Definitely can do better. I will say one little kind of flag for us to plant is after the first year, which was just a kind of competition between San Francisco and LA, it expanded to several more cities after that. And Chicago was one of the earliest adopters of the City Nature Challenge. So I'll say we do get some props for that. We were the first 10 cities beyond that first two in California that took it on. So we at least pat ourselves on the back for that much.
Yeah, we're willing to try. Now we just got to up it for the challenge. Get more people involved. We are a big city and a region, not just Chicago itself, but we go into Wisconsin and Indiana. So we need to step up the game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's genuinely totally doable. I was looking at some of the numbers, and last year we had almost 8,000 participants, or 8,000 observations maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it says here. Yeah, 8,000 observations. And that's... We can definitely up that. We can definitely up that, Chicago.
Definitely,
come on.
Definitely. I think it's interesting, too, because, it's global, like Emily said. So maybe there are some places we're not really in competition with, Rio or, one of those more tropical cities that kind of already got us a little bit beat on the biodiversity. However, definitely still, if you look at kind of our peer competition, across sort of the latitude here, we definitely have some room to grow, for sure.
Yeah. Looking at the live results from last year, it looks like Dallas-Fort Worth was fourth overall. And I'm just saying, they're not a big city like Chicago, so.
And, yeah. And I mean, come on.
And nearly as diverse. Let's face it.
We've got so much more, you know, growing and living in this space. I mean, how many species have we documented that we know exist here that we just got to get out and find? It's a lot.
Right. And spring is the perfect time to do it. I mean, Earth Day is in April for a reason. We're doing this in April for a reason. Spring has sprung. Finally, we've had some nice weather here in the Chicagoland region, and it's time to get outside. We can totally make that happen. Do either of you want to talk about any of the work that we've been doing to plan the City Nature Challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting event in that it really is any kind of scale of participation you're looking for is all viable. If you're just somebody with a phone who wants to head outside and take photos, do that. It's all part of it, all goes into the same pool of observations and the same, you know, pool of effort for anybody across the city. So I certainly want to preface anything I say with just, if you're an individual who wants to participate, go out there and do it. Don't let anything be a barrier to doing it. Just go out and do it. But in order to try to, you know, make it more fun, add some more social atmosphere to it, and really kind of, you know, reach for the stars, like Emily was saying, and really kind of punch above our weight here, we are working with across a number of collaborative organizations and individuals to try to organize a little bit more around the City Nature Challenge and try to get people outside and give them the opportunity to really observe nature together through organized efforts. So many of us are coming from, you know, maybe organizations that we represent. So, like, you know, we introduce ourselves at the beginning there. And the hope is hosting dedicated bio blitzes, maybe across certain taxa, like, you know, bird walks or plant walks, or maybe just general walks, maybe special areas where we know there is already a lot of diversity, to get people out there in those spaces. And or just going out to demonstrate, this is how you use iNaturalist, how you download the app and how you upload photos and how you make it count towards the greater effort. And so between all of these organizations, we've come up with a long list of events that are happening all across the Chicagoland area, not just the city proper, but even outside of the city. And by working together, we can really maximize those efforts and really, really kind of get the word out. We've have joint press releases that we put out, joint media that we're putting out. So we're really, really going all in together across these organizations. And it's a really cool thing to see us just collaborate in a lot of ways that maybe normally we don't get a chance to on this kind of shared effort.
Yeah. Emily, did you want to talk about like maybe how you got involved with your work?
Well, actually, I was one of those early participants back from years ago. When I saw about it, I've been a citizen scientist for most of my life. It's been around, especially with the whole smartphone thing. And so saw that program, was taking pictures, even if it was just in my own backyard. I wasn't even going any place special. It was, oh, the violets in the grass, or oh, the ants on the sidewalks. Yay! And then I became involved with the forest preserve in the position that I'm in now, and had the opportunity to really start to offer events for people to volunteer and to come on out and to celebrate and to tie it into other events that we already are having. And so this year, it just so happens, it really was a coincidence that we were going to be at Joliet Junior College that weekend. And I'm like, we have a trail adjacent to Joliet Junior College. It's very accessible to anyone, abilities, size, length, time. They don't have to come out for actual restoration and doing the harder labor type of aspect. They could just come out, pave trail, tape a few pictures around campus. Maybe they want to check out the campus. Who knows? It is that time of year. And enjoy, and I'll be there to help people along. So it really is a great opportunity, no matter what a level of participation you want to be in. Like, again, every person who's listening to this, if they just take one picture, I mean, that could just amazingly add to numbers if you haven't been a participant in the past. And then with the different events, I'm really excited about this year, especially with having those press releases
having Chicago Wilderness putting stuff out, having Instagram, having like lots of different connections. It's amazing to see everyone coming together for a common cause all in the same weekend. Similar to what Audubon has been doing for a really long time with the backyard bird counts or the Christmas bird counts or things like that, mm-hmm. that people are sort of used to doing. I'm hoping that the City Nature Challenge will be synonymous with that, that every year they're looking forward to it and participating.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely
everybody. Sorry, did you see, Jay?
No, jump in, Edward, please.
No, I was just going to echo that, man. If everybody in the city took one photo,
just one.
Some random thing, a robin, an ant, whatever is growing around them,
like it on the tree.
Yeah, we would blow it out of the water. That would be so amazing. I would be like, well, I can retire, right? Mic drop.
Yeah. Oh. Check. I was you used a word that we've talked about before on the Birdie Bunch podcast, but I feel like people maybe haven't heard this term before, and it's citizen science. And I love that term. We talk about citizen or community science a lot, especially when we're doing like bio blitzes and things like that. Do either of you want to explain sort of what citizen science or community science is?
Yeah, you know, citizen science is one of those terms that means a lot of things to a lot of people, but I mm-hmm. think the simple version is simply it's crowdsourcing science and discovery in a for the larger goal of understanding of our world. It really can be applicable to just about any field of science. We're talking about it here in the natural context, but one of the most prolific fields where citizen science is a big thing is also in astronomy, for example. Mm. Amateur astronomers still actively to this day finding new galaxies and new stars that are not known to the science because there's just individuals out there with scopes and maybe some basic software and doing the work. And the result is basically finding information, making new discoveries, collecting data that otherwise on a scale that just simply wouldn't be possible if it was just left to professionals. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But the value of that ends up being is that we have these, data that help us understand our world or outside of our world more that wouldn't be possible before and otherwise. But now that we have the benefit of technology, a technology that's in everybody's pockets and hands and laptops, we can do like never, ever before.
Yeah, I've participated in things for light pollution. I've done looking at trail cam pictures and saying what animals are in there. Pictures of the penguins, how many adults, how many young, how many nests, things for space, even archival of documents and trying to read the names on them. I mean, there's just, no matter what your interest is, there is a citizen science project or community science project you could probably be involved with. And you can do it on your own time. It's not, there are certain things, dates, times, frames, those types of things. But sometimes it's looking at data and just being able to share that information and help get one more page done out of 1,000 pages that they're trying to work for. So I think it's a great opportunity for anybody, especially if you are homebound or if you really can't get out in nature. There's a lot of online virtual opportunities as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really lets anyone be a scientist, right? Like science, I feel like, has this stigma of being very like, I don't know, private or like not necessarily discriminatory, but like you can only do science if you're a scientist and you have your PhD and you can go out and do the field work. But like anyone can be a scientist with citizen science. Like, again, if every person in the city went out and just took one picture, the City Nature Challenge would be blown out of the water.
You know, I appreciate you bringing up kind of this weird stigma too, CJ, because it's funny when you look at kind of the early origins of, what we understand of natural science. Many of those early scientists were citizen scientists. They were not, it was not their job to go look at nature. I mean, some of the most famous figures we know, like, name drop Darwin. The dude was not a scientist. That was not his job. That's not what he got paid to do. And yet he revolutionized our understanding of nature forever. Right. Yeah. And, today, honestly, thank God we do have a whole army of professional scientists, psychologists, and people who, make it their lives and their careers to study the natural world. That's an amazing thing. I don't want to, be down on that at all.
Right.
But it shouldn't in any way be a barrier or kind of drawing sort of lines in the sand about what you can and can't do with the time that you have available to you. Citizen science is an immensely powerful thing, and while it maybe isn't like the olden days where you just hop on a ship and go, you know, just on a journey of discovery, there is still so much more to be discovered by anybody anywhere armed with a little bit of information, and these days a phone.
Yeah, I think a lot about kind of exactly what you mean. Like science never started as this exclusionary thing, and we've sort of, I guess, turned it into that when really anyone should be able to access science and be a scientist themselves. I love that. Before we sort of, I want to end up getting to the point where we talk about how people can participate in the City Nature Challenge. We've talked a little bit about iNaturalist and being a citizen scientist, but before we get into that, I would love to ask you both, and Emily, why don't you start about like how you got to where you are? You sort of mentioned you were doing citizen science and now you have this really cool job. How did you sort of like get to being a planner on the City Nature Challenge?
Good question. I think it was when being part of the iNaturalist community and seeing all the different names they were talking about. Oh, yeah, I'm looking for more information, more help with the project if you have a connection. And so I saw that little blast out to the 100 or so people that were in the iNaturalist. I think it was like the 2022 maybe City Nature Challenge. And said, hey, I'm interested. Is there something that I can help with and plan with? And they're like, sure. Whether it was with your organization specifically, whether it was you personally wanting to put together a group in your local park, whatever it might be, they were more than willing to accept me into the group, which is always wonderful.
Yay.
And so, yeah, I've been on the team for a couple of years now.
That's amazing. What about you, Edward?
You know, I think I heard about it via Twitter or X or whatever the heck we're calling it now.
Yeah.
There was a couple of like nature friends then that I had followed, and one of them posted about this thing using iNaturalist. And I remember at first, that first year, it was just like, all right, cool. I'm just taking a bunch of pictures and uploading them. And then the very next year, they're like, oh, hey, we're looking for people to help organize things. And I was like, ooh, I want to do this. I want to get on this. I want to help make this happen. Because I remember just having an absolute blast with that first year and really the whole message and, you know, around it really resonating with me. So, yeah. And then they were like, oh, yeah, cool. We need all the help we can get. So, like, great. Sign me up.
And Neil, one of the best things about this particular project, for me anyways, is that you don't have to be an expert on what you're seeing. So there are many projects out there that you're like, okay, what is the magnitude of this star? And you're like, okay, let me go back to my notes. Let me compare. Let me do this. Oh, I don't get it wrong. But this is like, okay, it's a bird. It's a little brown bird. that's where I'm going to leave it. And then that way we do have people that can go in afterwards and help out with those little brown birds that they are going to be my nemesis probably till the end of time.
Definitely basically just read what my texts look like. Hey, Edward, here's this little brown bird. What is it?
See, that used to be me. That used to very much be like, that's a sparrow. I can confirm that's a type of brown bird. And after just like, after years of looking at little tiny brown birds, I was like, cool. I know it's one of three sparrows now. Edward, you mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast that you wear many hats and you're sort of coming to the Birdie Bunch podcast from Chicago Ornithological Society. As someone who also wears many hats, I wanted to sort of ask if you are able to talk about the other hats that you wear.
Yeah, certainly. As president of Chicago Ornithological, that is a volunteer role. So all of us on that team are volunteers. It's a volunteer organization. And then my day job is actually working with the Nature Conservancy in partnership with the Chicago Park District, which is its own kind of complicated relationship there. But essentially working on the volunteer side of the many natural areas that you can now find in the Chicago Park District system. There's about 2,000 acres of natural areas within the city of Chicago's Park District sites, and many of those have volunteer groups and volunteer caretakers, which I work to support.
That's awesome. I always feel really excited when I have fellow Chicagoans here on the podcast. Emily, I know you're out in the burbs, but I'm also a suburbs kid. I grew up in the burbs. I feel like I get to talk about all the stuff that is really, really great about our region, and the City Nature Challenge is a really awesome opportunity to do that in. Do you guys have any favorite nature that you would want to share? Like any spots you're like, that's a great spot. Go check it out.
I mean, geez.
Do I have to vote for the home team of Will County?
Will County's got some killer spots. Will County's got some killer spots.
It's true.
Gosh. If you're going for some spring ephemerals right now, they are like ready to pop. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. People are like, are they ready yet? Are they have the bluebells?
Any day now.
Are they coming? Like, oh, and they're taking, yeah, everyone is. And then the eagles, we have lots of eagle nests. And so we see the babies now.
I think
and
I
stuff.
Saw that in the news the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. One of our great volunteers, Joel, was on the news talking about that we don't really share the locations of our nests. But
makes sense.
Yeah. We get pictures and videos and they're just amazing. So we do have a lot of great stuff in Will County, but I did grow up on the south side of Chicago. Like far south, like Mount Greenwood south.
Yeah, yeah.
Or southwest, I guess you could technically say. So, you know, now that Big Marsh is around, that is a pretty unique,
killer,
cool place.
So
and,
good.
And Wolf Lake, and then I grew up in Cal Sag, like the Pala Sag Preserve. So, like, I mean, I was basically born and raised on Little Red Schoolhouse. And
my favorite spots in the whole area, yeah. Little Red Schoolhouse.
Camp Sagawa, which isn't even Camp Sagawa anymore because there used to be buildings there. I used to work at, like, Willowbrook Wildlife in DuPage County. So, like, yeah, there's just, they all have a different place in my heart for various reasons.
For sure. Thank you for sharing that, Emily. I loved it. Edward?
I have, again, I have so many possible responses for different reasons to that question. I suppose I have to, like, at least be a little bit biased with my Park District lens on here, which is just, I mean, there's a lot of amazing Park District sites, which, you know, considering that most of the nature spaces within the Park District are not even that old, the vast majority are less than 10, some less than 5 years old, the amount of diversity of life that's packed into these spaces, even if it's just like 100 square feet, some of these sites, it's honestly really remarkable. Truly, truly remarkable. And then some of the older ones have, I mean, biodiversity that rivals some of their more like high quality remnant counterparts. It's really kind of amazing. I mean, yeah. Anyway, so I will say that, you know, you probably have a park near you somewhere that is absolutely bananas when it comes to diversities that maybe you're aware of or maybe you weren't aware of, but it's definitely worth checking out. I think a personal favorite for me is I used to be a volunteer steward myself at 63rd Street Beach, which is down in Jackson Park. And I always would go ham every year during the Nature Challenge on that site because it was like, it's my site. I love it. Like, it's what I'm committed to. And so I have a lot of fond memories of tracking down every plant I could possibly find out there and getting it all in a naturalist in like a 2-3 hour period. And I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful site. If you want to have a beach day, go hang out on the beach, take pictures of plants, go to town.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, again, I grew up sort of in the suburbs of Chicago. Little Red Schoolhouse was a place I would go very regularly as a kid. Being in the city now, I feel like anywhere on the lakefront's incredible. But Big Marsh, great. Labau Woods is one of my faves. So tons of really awesome spots.
You know, I'll also throw out there that, you know, our area is pretty big. So, you know, places that like, you know, you've got your, you know, your Cook County Preserves, your Chicago Park sites, your Will County Preserves, you know, DuPage Lake County Preserves. But, you know, what also falls within our area? Our nearby National Park. Right? Yeah. Indiana Dunes National Park is in our zone. Midewin National Tallgrass Prairie, that's in our zone. Illinois Beach State Park, like the state's first ever Illinois Nature Preserve, that's also in our zone too, right? There are some, you know, if you're willing to take the trek to some of these areas just about an hour away or so, or I mean, all the Palos Preserves, there's like world-class, you know, habitats within what counts as our City Nature Challenge area.
Yeah, One thing that's really incredible about the City of Nature Challenge is that it's not just a Chicagoland project. Obviously, we're all here representing the Chicagoland, but this project is global. We talked about Rio. We talked about other places that are participating, other cities. No matter where you are listening from, where you are, you can participate in the City of Nature Challenge. Do you want to share how we can participate?
Well, definitely they go to the Chicago Wilderness website, and they go for City Nature Challenge. You can search it on any of your search engines. There is a list of a whole bunch of different events. So whether you're on north, south, east, west, you probably have something that's relatively close to you, especially in the city area. And then they show a map, they have different things. But yeah, if you are unable to get to one of those events for whatever reason, then definitely at least go outside from wherever you are currently staying and look for that ant, look for that bud on that tree, look for that weed in the crack of the sidewalk, whatever it might be. Take that picture, upload it to iNaturalist. It'll automatically get added into the project as long as you're doing it from April 26th to April 29th. You don't have to try to like find the project or anything as long as you have iNaturalist instead of your account, which is really nice. Not all of them are like that. Sometimes you have to choose which project, but this one is anything in that global area. You're good to go and take a picture. That's it.
Yeah.
Hopefully more than one, but take a picture.
Right.
You know, I'll also throw out there, there's an even more, you know, the part about this that we often don't talk about as much, but it is just as important, is the identification. So if for whatever reason you're completely homebound, or, you know, you're not able to get outside or don't have time to take those photos, or maybe, God forbid, you're in a city that's not participating, boo.
Tragic.
You know, you can actually still help. By then, all these things that people are uploading, they need to be identified. You know, you pointed out that you don't have to be an expert. So it could be somebody walking down their street and they uploaded a photo and all they know is it's a plant. They have don't know anything beyond that. That's okay. But then there's other people on the back end that do maybe know or have the ability to distinguish that we need you doing. So, you know, and again, you don't have to be an expert to be an identifier. Even if you just know, oh, hey, somebody took a picture of a plant. I happen to know it's a tree. There you go. That's an important level of detail. You don't have to know exactly what species it is, because people going in there identifying whatever degree they can, even if it's just, oh, I know this is a tree versus a grass, or, oh, I know that this is some kind of wildflower maybe in this family, right? Any level of that helps narrow in and hone in on what it actually is and gets it closer and closer, not only to what it may actually be, but then also filters it out for the people who maybe are experts in certain areas to know, oh, hey, that's flagged for me. I can do that, right? So even if you never pull out your phone and never take a picture as part of the City Nature Challenge, even just the ability to hop on your computer, go to the iNaturalist website and help identify a few things, or at least start pushing them in the right direction, it goes a long way.
Yeah, and again, like Emily mentioned, if you just go outside, download iNaturalist, and snap a picture of anything, you're participating. You can be anywhere in the world and participate in this really awesome project. Community science is so exciting, and I feel really honored that I could have you both here to talk about this incredible project.
Well, thank you so much for having us and coming up with the idea to host us.
Oh my gosh, literally, of course. Like I said, I was on this planning committee too, with another one of the hats that I wear. And I was excited to bring the Birdie Bunch involved. Before we sort of wrap up the episode, I wanted to see if you guys had any particular events that you wanted to plug. Like if you're leading any outings. I know, Emily, you mentioned the one that you're leading at Joliet Junior College. Is that right?
That is correct. So for all those West Side people that, you know, are not in the city per se, Joliet Junior College is obviously in Joliet, and we're going to be out there on Sunday, April 28th from like 9 to noon. You're welcome to drop in. You are welcome to be there the entire time. I will be out there. I'll help you upload iNaturalist even if you need help with that, but you can upload that before you get there. It'll save you a lot of time creating that account. And there's a nice trail that is through the property with preserves, so you can make it a bigger event if you want. It is paved, so it is accessible for all levels, ages, abilities. So come on out, and we'd love to have you.
Amazing. Edward, what about COS's event?
Yeah, we actually have a couple of things we're either doing or participating in. The one, I'm biased, is that I'm actually leading a bird walk at Northerly Island, which is kind of right there downtown on Museum Campus. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing, it's a bird walk, but let's be real, we'll be taking pictures of everything. So, you know, any plants we encounter, and, you know, birds are notoriously hard to get through with your cell phone, but you know what? We're going to flood iNaturalist with blurry brown bird photos and it's going to be okay. But yeah, I'll be leading that walk on the 27th, that Saturday morning. I also want to do at least this little special plug for, we do have an ID party that happens after the, like, kind of the main challenge period as well. I think it's that Tuesday afterwards. So we're just going to all go to a brewery with our laptops and stacks of field guides and, you know, help each other ID all the stuff that we photographed over the period of the challenge. So if you want to come get, you know, jolly with a bunch of nature nerds and, like, go to a brewery full of field guides, it doesn't get any better than that.
That's literally my dream. I'm so looking forward to just drinking and IDing like plants. I'm so stoked. Genuinely, I'm so stoked.
We did it for the first time last year, and it was like the best thing ever.
I'm so stoked.
IDing in the very beginning is very accurate. After that, it's a bird. That's good. Yeah.
Plant. Can't confirm. Check.
Sure, it's good enough.
It's got a flower. I don't know.
Incredible. Well, I'll just do... before I plug any of the Birdie Bunch stuff, are you guys able to plug any of, like, the social medias for your respective organizations or even for the Our City Nature Challenge Chicago?
Go ahead, Emily. You know the Instagram handle. You manage that one, right?
Yes. So I've been working on the Instagram. I am old enough to have fun with it, I guess you could say. Sometimes my formatting is a little... off. I have to say, things are vertical now. No, things are horizontal. Oh no, the script. I remember MySpace. So,
relatable.
Yeah. So, I have been working on that, and that's CNC_Chicagoland. There's a whole bunch of City Nature Challenge groups out there. So if you just look it up and even do a search, you'll see City Nature Challenge all over the place. And then you'll just want to get the Chicagoland region if that's where you're listening from. If you're listening from El Paso, click on El Paso. If you're listening from New York, there's a New York one.
Amazing.
But yeah, and we have been following each other throughout all the different City Nature Challenge on Instagram. So we've been cross-feeding and posting and having all that fun stuff. So definitely... put your stuff out there, follow, and, you know, start posting stuff, because it's great. It's fun.
Yay. Edward?
Yeah, I mean, just use those hashtags, you know, whatever media you're on. There's usually a couple, but usually it's just hashtag City Nature Challenge. Also tag iNaturalist on social media. iNaturalist as an organization and a website, there's actual people behind the website. They are very, very active on social media. So if you're taking pictures or, you know, taking selfies while you're out there, put them up on social and tag iNaturalist. They will reshare that stuff and share it around.
Did you want to share COS's in social media?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, of course. I was just thinking more, you know, City Nature Challenge. But yeah, COS, Chicago Ecological Society. You can find us on all the platforms. It's usually at Chicago Birder or Chicago_Birder. So yeah, you'll find us there. And again, we're pretty active too. So if you've taken pictures of birds or don't know what they are, tag us. We'll help you ID them. And would love to share your bird pics in particular.
Well, I guess I should say, you know, Will County Forest Preserve does have a whole entire social media team specifically for them.
Please plug it.
They have a TikTok account. I laugh my butt off half the time that I'm watching their videos. I'm like, who comes up with these things? It's like you see a poop bag on the trail, and then it's Michael from The Office. He's like, what? And it's like, you know, you picked up the boo, but you left the bag on the trip. So they do some really fun stuff. And so they're WILCO and then Forest. So Will County Forest. WILCO Forest. But they have tons of different sites, whether it's for each individual preserve, whether it's videos, whether it's... they're all over the place. They have a whole team that's designed for that. I am not on that team. I am on my own personal stuff. And then for the City Nature Challenge. So I apologize that the quality is not nearly as amazing as them. But yes.
I'll just say, as somebody who does not work for Will County, she's 100% correct.
It's so good.
The Will County like digital video media team in particular, so good. So good. So good. So seconding that as somebody who is maybe not, you know, wearing that Will County hat, she's not lying. It's some great stuff, content coming from that team.
Yeah, they even got like new merch with shirts and stuff like that. And they're like, bald is beautiful, and it's got an eagle on it. And not all Canadians are friendly, and it's got a goose. Like,
that's so good.
They have some like little kids onesies now, and I want to say like, I know who I poop on if I was a bird or something. I mean, they have some really fun stuff. So even if you're not in Will County,
amazing,
you know, come out to the edge of Cook County and break on into that L, up to Naperville, over to Indiana, down to Wilmington. I mean, we got this like a mass thing covered. Incredible. Come on out, have fun, or just virtually enjoy the space.
Immaculate. Edward, any last minute notes?
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, this is the year for cicadas, and depending on how the spring goes, we might start having some emergers around the time of the City Nature Challenge. So just saying, if you're curious about these crazy 17-year cicadas that are coming out this year, be on the lookout. We might have them, depending on how conditions go, around the time of the City Nature Challenge. So keep your eyes peeled, or ears peeled, as the case may be.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, last year, I think the biggest draw was American Robins on the City Nature Challenge, the Chicagoland region. Like, if we have cicadas, I think we should have over 8,000 pictures of just cicadas.
So looking forward to it.
Just depends on timing. You never know.
No, I definitely want to see that happen, especially because if you think about the fact that the last time we had an emergence, iNaturalist wasn't really a thing. So we don't actually have like any data for our region for the Magicicada 17-year cicada. So flood it. Go crazy, people.
Just the biggest plug for iNaturalist. Just go and do iNaturalist. Do citizen science. Just go.
Yes. There are so many other projects on iNaturalist. I've even created projects for groups. If we're going out to do a little bio blitz at a little wildlife park or things like that, I've made my own projects for them. So there's some really big, cool ones, but you can also make your own little projects. So definitely, enjoy. Have fun.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. CJ's been trying to close us down for
a while. No, you're good.
You know what? One of the other cool things about this is that all of this information, this data that we're putting in there, actually is used on a local level. It's not even just like, oh, it goes into iNaturalist and some dude somewhere in, like, I don't know, New York or whatever, and a university is looking at it. Like, I have colleagues in my office who access observations on iNaturalist to help them inform management decisions for ecological purposes in parks right here actively, right?
Yeah.
There's a project that I'm working on to document 17-year cicadas in Chicago parks because we literally do not have any data on it. We assume that some of them may have these critters, but we just don't know. We don't have any prior data, and so we're going to be relying on iNaturalist to fill that gap to know which of these sites have the ability to host these bugs. And so just like, I can't plug it enough because, I mean, I even use it actively from a management perspective to look at how can we basically make these habitats better for the wildlife that's out there. And part of that starts with knowing what's there. And I use iNaturalist all the time for that purpose. So it's not even just like it's some abstract thing and about kicking Dallas's butt. It's also about helping the people who are here today, volunteers and professionals, try to do the best thing for our local habitats. And we use iNaturalist to do that.
Which means you can use iNaturalist every day, any day. You don't have to wait for a special project to go out there and take a picture. If you are an avid bird photographer, put those pictures on there. If you are an avid mycologist and you love your fungi, like, put those pictures on there. Like, let someone experience the joy of what your joy is as well, and be able to learn from it and not just have that beautiful photo that's posted on some social media site that everyone gets, you know, 1,000 likes, but actually make it a worthwhile adventure that, who knows, maybe they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know they had this particular species at this location. Like, what's going on here? When was it? I mean, you could totally open up the new scientific world out there from something that you were just like, oh, they're there every year. Like, I've noticed it, but no one else has. So, like, yeah, that data is really important.
I love that as a note to end on, right? Where it's like, just, you can do this any day. This is data that's useful for everyone all the time. As much as we're plugging the City Nature Challenge, we're also just plugging getting out in nature.
Hopefully, well, I guess you just get hooked.
Yeah, exactly. Just be excited about nature, guys. It's fine.
City Nature Challenge, gateway drug.
There it is.
All those kids that have the smartphones, who don't want to get off the smartphones, say, all right, you can have your smartphone for 5 minutes, take one picture, upload it to City iNaturalist, or iSeek, I believe, is like the kids' version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And plug it in there. Okay, now you can go back to your Candy Crush or whatever. I don't know.
yeah, what are the kids doing these days? Snapgrams? Yeah. Fantastic. I'll just plug the Pretty Bunch real quick. So if you're not following us already, you can go follow us, the Pretty Bunch Podcast, at the Pretty Bunch Podcast anywhere on Instagram or Facebook. You can visit our website, thebrettybunchpodcast.com. You can listen there. You can, there's going to be a blog post with some of the resources that we talked about. All those websites we mentioned, they'll be linked there. How to sign up at iNaturalist, that'll be linked there. And then you can also visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/thebrettybunchpodcast. I'm just a quick shout out to a couple of our patrons, Brian Forrest and Pretty Penny. Thank you for being patrons. You're great. Otherwise, that about wraps up this episode of the Birdie Bunch Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.